I like to be there from the first handshake to beyond the key turn.
Welcome, construction industry professionals. You're listening to The Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow your business. Here are your hosts, Devin and Kevin.
For you, our ideal customers, contractors, and architects listening, we got a gem for you today.
Absolutely.
We have Don Gorig, the owner of Gorig Design, who's a designer that really takes, you know, architecture and building luxury custom homes to the next level. And I'm so excited to have him come in and tell us his story about Gorig Design.
No, and absolutely the key, I think, too, is that Don is a what I would kind of refer to as a residential designer. So he's putting all the pieces together from the beginning to the finished product, which is exciting. So looking forward to hearing what he has to say today.
Yeah, and we've got to work with him on some great projects. When I was asking him, I was like, what got you into this? Is this story on his way out that I got to tell you on going in to have this interview is that he goes, you know, I was 10 years old and my grandmother came home with some paper and says, you know, here, Donald, here's some paper. And he just started sketching. And next thing you know, he was doing cathedrals at the age of 10. And this guy is passionate about architecture and design. And that's why I wanted to have him in the show and talk through the passions and maybe let's reiterate some of the obvious things to help us all grow our business, right?
Yep, looking forward to it.
And as always, I'm Devin Tilley, the president owner of Mountain View Window and Door.
And I'm Kevin Keefe. I'm the chief relationship officer and sales representative here at Mountain View Window and Door.
All right, let's walk in and have a fireside chat in Studio MBWD with Don Gorig.
Here we go.
What's your favorite beverage?
I would have to say bourbon.
Nice. That's my favorite, too.
That's my favorite.
What's a hot one right now?
80 Laws. 80 Laws is the best.
Never even had that one. Now it's on my bucket list.
Just need to go get some.
What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Paris. I love Paris.
Tell us about that.
Just the ambiance of the city, the hustle and bustle, the architecture, of course, the Art Nouveau. I mean, everything about it, to me, exudes tremendous romance, which I really love.
Nice. So give us one design thing that stuck out from your trip there.
The biggest thing that sticks out for me is just the art, all the Art Nouveau detailing around the city everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere.
Nice.
As well as the streets. I love the cobblestone, too.
Yeah. Your favorite hobby?
It changes every now and then, but I definitely love paying attention to Formula One racing for when it comes to sports. But as far as a hobby, an actual hobby where you sit down and do something, I don't have time to do that right now.
Your work is your hobby, right?
Yeah, I would say my work is my hobby, yeah.
Nice.
And it tends to be too much sometimes.
Got to know a little bit about Don Gorig, who is the owner of Gorig Design. So tell us about your design profession and your company and your background and where you want to take Gorig Design.
Well, Gorig Design is a higher-end residential design company. We specialize in high-end residential. We do all sorts of residential. We don't stick with just modern, but we also do other types of styles. But modern is the hottest one right now, which seems to be what everybody wants. So that's what I'm good at as well. But I can do anything anyway. And where we want to go, I mean, we keep chugging forward, keep making clients happy, keep making statements around the city.
Tell us about how Gorig Designs makes the statements for customers and kind of how you go to market.
I would say, I guess I don't like to design on a trendy basis where some homes look funky because of what's going on now. I like to try to design on a more elegant, more timeless basis. It doesn't look like it was designed in 2015, whereas I think in 10 years we'll see a lot of that, we don't do that anymore type of mentality.
Yeah, totally. Title is a designer, right? But I've got to know you a little bit through working on projects as far as you actually do the full CAD drawings and really are big in selecting the products. And why I really wanted to have you on the show is because that's really our perfect fit. The reality is if you're really going to take the next step, we struggle at Mountain View with designers. And when I say quote-unquote designers, it's like they just come in and say, I want to pick the colors and textiles. Say, just do this door, but they don't know how it all works together. We love the designers, architects, design, build people that they, you know, your focus and your passion is designing the best finished project, right. But you take it more than just picking that out. So tell us about, you know, what you do on a day-to-day basis when Joe Homeowner hires Gorig Design. What's the process like?
Well, I mean, for me, it's the overall product in the end is very important. So obviously my name is on it, my reputation, even though I don't live there, it's still all very important to me. So I do like to, I like to specify quality windows. I like to show that show people that there are better products out there, like what you guys have in your showroom. I do think that it's important to aesthetically to pick out all those items. I don't like to leave the stones uncovered. I like to be able to poke my nose in everything and show that, yeah, design is about the full home, not just parts of it, not just things I'm interested in, but everything. Because the house is being designed by me, of course, and I even want the contractors, the builders, the subcontractors, everybody to do a quality job too, because again, it all plays part in the quality of the house for the owner, but also in the reputation for me and Gorig Design as well.
Love. What do you do in terms of the background with your client at the beginning to get a feel for what they're looking for and navigate your design background and kind of your template? How to talk a little bit about how you put that together.
A lot of my clients seem to find my work out in the neighborhoods, which is fantastic, and they like to point out the things that they love and what really appeals to them. And so that you know, I hang on to that and go a bit further with it, mm-hmm. and try to push limits for everybody, because sometimes people don't know what they like and what they don't like without seeing it in front of them, without experiencing it. And again, I don't want to just push out the same flavor everybody else has. I like to have something that's unique, that looks good, that looks classic, and that when the owner looks at it, they're proud of it, and living in it, of course, more proud of it. But you know, the process just is getting to know the clients very much, and it's not about me, it's about the clients, and also giving them the quality product that they're expecting.
Well, you touched on something there that's really critical, and that is that a lot of people, in fact, most people, I believe, can't visualize. You know, they, without seeing it in person, without looking at it in three-dimensional, maybe even a drawing, they can't really understand what it is that they're trying to communicate. So how do you sort of bridge that gap? Is part of it taking them to projects that you've done? And what other ways do you kind of help them with that, being able to see that vision?
Well, yeah, I do like to get to know the clients quite a bit. I like to take them to projects I've done. I like to show them products in homes on house and other websites, even the projects I've done in the past as well, in my website. But I just like to get to know them on several levels, and at a certain point where I feel like I've got a good grasp on what they're looking for, then I'll present to them a color rendering. Part of the process, once we have all the details figured out, you know, sometimes I hit it on the first try, sometimes I don't. It's just part of getting to know people and seeing what they like and what they don't like.
So it's all about the relationship for you, right? And so this, the Art of Construction, specifically designed for contractors and architects to grow their business. And the designer is a key part of what we call the golden triangle, where they kind of fit, you know, in with all the suppliers and all the people in those key elements to make it work. And I want to kind of tell a story of how one of the first projects where Don and I really got to know each other, we were doing this show home that we've had different podcasts and we've talked about that. And what I really like about customers like Don is that you're a learning organization, just like my company is. You always want to know what's better and different and why and this and that. And you go for the customers that are also like that. And the story or the example I'd use for that is this show home on a Sunday afternoon, we both have the passion and enjoy seeing new stuff, right? So I told you about the show home and you were like, well, can I set up a time to bring some clients there? And I was like, amen, this guy gets what our relationship is working together. And the thing that I want to point out about bringing your customers there that day is that this modern design about everything architects, you know, the smallest, cleanest, 90 degree line, everything needs to be minimal. But then you bring the homeowners there, and the part that really stuck out for me when we were there that day was we did all shaker cabinetry in that kitchen, mm-hmm. but the doors there were a one-panel shaker style door, but being as it was a solid core molded door, it couldn't be a true 90 degree corner. And that little detail, once we pointed out that design, they actually liked what I think you probably would have said a square 90 degree corner is maybe what you would have chose for them. But by going there and listening and understanding, they weren't 100% modern, like you say, more time period systems. So do you want to elaborate on why you do that with your customers? And more importantly than that, tell us about why you do that and how you charge them to spend a Sunday afternoon with them, because you got to be careful. At the end of the day, this is all about growing your business and making money as well.
Right. Well, first and foremost, I don't charge anybody for a Sunday afternoon. It's part of what I do. It's just part of the passion that I do. And so detail like that, for instance, I might have the vision up front to what the house looks like, but I think you always have to be open-minded to find other avenues, that other directions, that something you might see that you've never seen before takes you in a direction that you didn't expect. And sometimes that completely expands a whole new variety of design that you know nobody ever saw before, and that we weren't expecting. But when that happens, it's actually pretty fun. So you know, doors like that that you're speaking of that has a beveled edge, which may be somewhat traditional to some people, is actually somewhat of a detail that's different and that's considered modern in some ways to other people. And you know, just to clarify too, though, modern is not a style. Modern is a movement. So it could be anything. It could be absolutely anything that's just out of the ordinary as far as what a modern detail could be. So something like that, even though it's in a period-type home, still, I think, some things will work well in more modern homes of today.
Yeah. So you say, I don't charge for the Sunday afternoon, but you still got to make a living. How
sure.
do you... And when you were with those clients, had you already... They had already signed your contract and chose Gorig Design to architecturally do the plans. And where do you transition to the contractor, just for all of us different people that are all, you know, I like to tell people we're all a for-profit company. So who does what the way you see it best? Where you know, how you charge and where you transfer the wand, as far as when we talk about this, you know, beveled edge door detail, how far do you go, and then where does the, you know, the contractor, the supplier, where does everybody fit in?
Well, for me, you're paying for a service when we have a business agreement, because it is an agreement, but it's a relationship that is very important to me. So the service that I provide is design, and unfortunately design is not just an 8-to-5 type job. Design is, for me, a 24-hour job, because I might be looking at a project or might be looking at a detail some evening after watching a football game or something. Suddenly inspiration comes, and so then, you know, sometimes I drop what I do and go manipulate it somehow, put it to paper somehow. Give a call to a client in an evening or a weekend to discuss something, if they have time. I mean, it's not required, but still, I guess what I'm saying is that I'm open to most conversations at any time, because people are expecting more out of a designer, even an architect, than most other services around town, because it's not an 8-to-5 job. I've never worked just 8-to-5, and if I have, it's rare.
And that's where I think the key to go back and say, what's your hobby? You say, I really enjoy my work. And if you're in this industry, you have to have the passion for it.
Sure.
And if you look at it as like, how do I bill this person for this idea of this challenge that we're having on this project? I don't think you're going to make it long term in this industry. You got to say,
right.
I did it, and I thought about it now, and this is going to make for a better project. Or, you know, in our industry is so cyclical for time and projects, you got to be able to manage the ebbs and flows, but also happy wife, happy life, and pay the bills, right?
Well, art in the first place is not a for-profit industry anyway. So architecture, of course, falls right into that same genre. So the reality is, you know, when people pay for it, it's very subjective. So you can't just say, I'm going to go buy a piece of architecture. It comes from
well
different
said.
Places in different areas. And to me, it's not a job. It's a lifestyle, actually. So something like that is, I think about it constantly. And I'm always looking at detail. I'm always looking around and paying attention to my environment. And maybe get some opinions on it. Maybe I don't, but, you know, I always have plenty to talk about if somebody asks.
I would imagine, though, Don, when you're going and taking a client to a property like the show home and you're going through and you're getting the client interested based on some new things they're seeing and you're seeing and you're kind of collaborating together, that's got to help not only the relationship but the buy-in to the whole project to get them excited, more passionate about what you're collectively doing together as a, you know, as a designer and a client team. So talk a little bit about that.
No, it's always exciting to continue the design process and to see details and to start, you know, see the client starting to visualize it even more and more, which is exciting to me because, you know, now I'm doing my job of trying to relay information and aesthetics to them in a way that I'm able to talk about it and show them certain details without showing them the actual house yet because it's not built yet. But those are exciting milestones in the new project, and that happens quite a bit, and that's what I love about it. So I do continue to feed that, and it's really enjoyable for me.
Talk a little bit also, you touched on Howe's a little bit, and Devin and I had here on the Art of Construction, we had the marketing director for Howe's on the show, and he talked a lot about the changes over the last several years in terms of how people are utilizing it, both on the client side, you know, your clients, and as well as people on your side, the designers, architects, and even general contractors, working through Howe's to help that bridge that gap of being able to visualize and understand projects, components and things. So talk a little bit about how Howe's, the website, has worked for your business and how it's helping your clients.
Well, I don't know how it's worked for my business, but I know I utilize it as a tool. Mm-hmm. I do push Howe's quite a bit when I'm talking to clients and other people, not for myself, but just because there's so much fantastic things to look at there. It's a completely visual website, and that's what I love about it. And there's so many other details to look at around the country from other architects, other designers, other places, parts of the world. Their styles. I mean, it's a playground. So I can't, you know, I can't express enough how much I love Howe's. But as far as me, I only push it by the details that are on there, not necessarily by the projects that I do, but also promote other people's projects as well. So it's, I guess, again, it's not all about me, but it's about everything else that the client can grab onto and utilize his tools as well. But I think that one's pretty important.
So what conversation do you have with your customers is to tell them how they should go on to Howe's and utilize it to collaborate?
Well, I like people to get on there to look at kitchens, different kitchen designs and ideas. There's so many on there that's it's overwhelming sometimes. I also like to do that with clients as well, rather than just having them do their own homework. But I like to show them what I'm talking about, too, specifically. I like to share the idea books with everybody, to send images to clients as well. And also, you know, working with interior designers the same way. When we're collaborating together, sometimes there's great ideas that come out of it that, oh, maybe you haven't seen this yet because, well, there's just so much on there, you might not have seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that inspires some great design that I think really is helpful.
So what's the most unique project you've done in the past 12 months?
The one of them that I'm working on right now on my board is a gentleman that we're adding a second floor to, and we're also adding some great space to, great common space to the house.
So a pop top, right?
It's a pop top.
Okay.
But I think in the end, it's not going to look like a pop top.
Yeah.
It's going to look pretty cool. And of course, you guys will be involved in that too.
Nice. When you say the most unique project, tell us some of the features and benefits that aha moments along the way as you've been working on that. Because this is still in the design phase, correct?
Well, I'm actually working on the drawings, the permit drawings right now. But we're pretty much done with the design. The situations in that particular project covered that with the volume space that we've got, the common area, that we could actually add three full glass windows to the top of the room to make it even feel bigger, better, and more light. And there's already, it's, you know, 18-foot high ceilings. It's going to be glass on one side and then high glass on the other two sides. It's going to have the Wyland doors, of course. It's going to have lots of glass, and it's going to be very modern, so it's going to be cool.
Nice, nice.
It's going to be cool.
So how did you go about working with them to select the house? Did they buy an existing house, or is this, what's the story behind how they selected the property? I'm assuming they've already bought that if you're designing.
They've already lived there. They've been there a while, just decided that they wanted to do more to it. They wanted to have a better lifestyle, and this will certainly allow them to do that. And it's a pretty substantially visual corner, so it's going to be a really great project for everyone, I think. Fun part about this project is that a lot of times you're restricted by materials and restricted by some of the design that comes along with those materials. But in this case, I feel there's a lot more artistic creativity when it comes to this project than most others. And sometimes it works out well, and sometimes it falls into place of the other projects. But this one, I think, is going to be pretty unique. I think it's going to be really a really fun project so far. It has been.
Yeah, and that's where I typically love that when they've lived there for a long time already, and this is their forever house, and they really want to take the time to do it the right way and partner up with Agoric Design that really takes the time to peel back all the layers and understand what they didn't like about their lifestyle of the current place or what the needs are going forward. And when they live there, they have a good bearing of where they've been and where they want to go. And that really helps you when you're designing their new lifestyle and what products and how to design that, correct?
Yeah, products play a big part of the design, too. I mentioned the Wyland doors. That product that you guys have in your showroom. I think it opened a lot of worlds for me, how I see projects come about. And I think it's very positive. And I don't like to use products the same way all the time, but sometimes some of them work out so well that why not?
Yeah, what is it you like about that Wyland product?
Oh, it's just that, you know, I used a lot of, in some of my projects in the past, I used nanowall door systems. One thing that I like about the nanowall, I think, is different, is that nanowall has a restriction on the width of the panels. So there's more vertical lines in a wall of nanowall doors, whereas Wyland doors, there's less, and it just looks more elegant. The operation of it, the feel of it, just everything about it just feels better to me.
Yeah, we like to call it the jailhouse look, right? Like bifold or accordion doors, we're not big fans of on these big, open, as much glass lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, having a showroom and collaborating, it's so great that Don brings his customers in here. As so many architects and contractors that we work with or people listening, it's like they don't want to get away from their computer because they're like, I got too much. I got to just constantly be tinkering and building this on paper. But the people that get out and go to the showrooms and bring the plans and we redline it, I think the process can actually be a lot quicker that way by seeing full lifestyle, you know, designs and displays. What do you think about that?
Well, I like to get my clients to in front of products and to have their hands on it and look at the options. Because I've already got the idea for them. I've already got the direction that I think the vision of the project should go. But I still want to have my clients to have the same experience, the tactile experience that I've already had too. Because there's a reason why I chose it, and I want them to feel the same way. Because I can't say everything to them. I want them to experience it the same way. So I think it's very important to bring clients to showrooms to go out, take tours, door hardware, whatever it might be. I think it's very important to have that experience and to basically hold the client's hand when it comes
and see it before they buy it, right? You may love it, and you listen and understand most of the time you're going to get it right, but there may be one that you think it's this way, and you're not on the same page until you see it, as well as dissecting the components of that. As far as I was on a job site this morning that, to the point where the customers had been in the showroom, saw the door that they chose, and then we went and put it in their house after they saw it, and they were still like, I don't like the mitered corners. Like, well, why didn't you say that in the showroom? If we didn't see it in the showroom, then it would be a real standoff. But since we did our due diligence, they kind of had to say, well, you showed it to me, and I just didn't take the time to dissect that detail, and then they kind of come to terms with that, right? And that's important for us, as these are not little dollars we're talking about. These are big expensive projects that we have to be arms and arms going in this as a team when we're going at these projects, to that it's not a matter of if, it's when something goes wrong, it's how we take care of it, right?
Well, on our end, just like you described, what we find is when we get both the designer, architect, the ultimate customer involved early on in the showroom, that it becomes much more efficient from a time standpoint and a productivity standpoint, finished product standpoint, all the way around. Clients more happy, architect and designers are more happy, it works better for us, and it's because of that collaboration where everybody understands what's going on, so there aren't these moments of confusion or, geez, I didn't like that. Everybody has it all worked out beforehand, and yeah, it just seems to be a lot more productive. But like Devin mentioned, a lot of times we get pushback from, you know, architects or designers that are too busy to come in, and in reality, it's better for everybody. It saves time in the long run. So I'm glad to see.
Yeah, no, I'm never too busy for that. Quite frankly, like you touched on, Devin, is that it is a large investment for people. It's usually their largest investment mm-hmm. they've ever made. I think it's very important to make them feel like they chose the right people and the right team to make that dream happen. I'm a big stickler on that. So everybody I work with, I feel I want to be on the same level that I'm at as well.
Yeah. So on the flip side, what's the most challenging project you've done in the past 12 months? Because we're all about taking something to make our business stronger and learn from every show.
Well, I think every project is very challenging, but I feel very satisfied once it's over because I'm able to, you know, tackle each situation in a different way.
Yeah, and getting to know you, you welcome challenge. You love the complicated, you know, unique stuff. But on the last project you did, what was something that you learned from?
And typically it's kind of a surprise that comes up that you maybe didn't anticipate or not at the level, and you kind of got to work through it and come out with the right result.
Yeah, and sometimes the details that I come up with on some projects I might apply to others. Some suddenly you get an epiphany that, oh, something works a lot better if we just did it this way. And I didn't know that until something happens in the field. We can't tackle every detail on paper. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it needs to be in the field, and I love to pay attention to that detail and be hands-on as much as I can and visit the job sites as much as I can to overlook the project just to make sure that it's going in the right direction and also to learn from it too.
Yeah. Goreg Design, it's like you have, when you see that house, it's your signature, right? So it's very important to you for the finished result. And that's the thing that I see a lot of people that, okay, I charge this flat fee for the plans and you do whatever the heck you want to do with them. And those people get burned out because they lose the passion. Then it's just all about a set of plans that someone goes and changes and does whatever they do, and then the dreaded value engineer word kicks in and on and on and on, right?
Well, I also like to – my philosophy is I like to be there from the first handshake to beyond the key turn in the door. You know, so I'm going to be there through the construction. I'm also going to try to be there after the construction too, you know, because sometimes you make great friends, sometimes you don't. At least that's my intent to stay in touch and to continue to.
So if I hear you say handshake to key turn, that's what I would categorize a design build firm. So have you looked into those kinds of options? Because you have to get nice guys finished last, right? You can do the design, but you want to be there for the key turn. But a builder or someone else is getting paid to do all that part of it.
Right.
How do you manage that? Or have you thought about, as I get to know the people and learn and peel back these layers on our industries, as far as segmenting designer, architect, builder, design, build, how do you manage and look at that as you think about where you want to go?
Well, even though I don't build the projects, I still like to manage it in such a way that I'm still involved in the building, of course. So I do like to work with quality builders, builders that keep their word, that stay on time, that manage to schedule the project, that also have the same, I think, warmth feeling that I like to give to my clients as well, that we're doing this project as an investment for the client, not just because it's another project that we're doing. So I do like to, I mean, for a design-build company, it would be fantastic if there was more to that. But at this point in my career, it doesn't happen. So the best thing I can do is to steer the contractors in a way that when we work together, we know each other and we know the quality that we're looking for. If we're doing a walkthrough or if we're ordering a product or whatever, I want to make sure that everything is I'm still involved in all that.
Yeah, it's kind of like at Mountain View, we talk a lot about outsourcing inside. You know, if a homeowner walks in the front door, it's such a windy road to try to professionally say, you need to go call Don Gorg because you need someone to help you design. Yeah. We can't just supply you, Joe, homeowner windows because you have the cart's way before the horse here. And then we're filtering them back to give the lead to you. Yeah. And then you do the same thing, kind of outsourcing inside as far as, you know, your title is designer, but you're outsourcing inside the build portion of it, right? Yeah. What's a builder in town that you work with in that name and why they are such a great builder?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of builders in town that are really great builders. A lot of them that also want to build and work with as well. I currently work with Caliber Construction. They're good guys. We're working on a project together. We've also done a show home in the past together. Back in June, we did a show home for Denver Life Magazine. They were the contractor for that. I've worked with several others before. Mod Lux, I think they're a great development company too. I really enjoy the projects that we've done together with them. And there are just many different other aspects around Denver that allow for good quality. I think it's also important for the homeowner to have a good quality builder, because you don't necessarily want to work with a guy that works out of his truck, because they're can be a little sketchy sometimes. Maybe not. But that there has to be a place to start for everybody. But that's where the relationship comes in. If he is working out of his truck and have a great relationship, maybe there's something to salvage or something to be said about that.
Well, I would imagine most of your customers are coming to you before they've had any thought of the builder, correct?
Sometimes, yes.
So
yes.
Talk a little bit about how you work through that issue of who the builder. Do you get involved in making recommendations to the customer in terms of who the builder should be?
Yeah, all the time. And I also get recommendations from other builders. Haley Custom Homes is a good one that's referred me lately too. They're a high-quality luxury home builder, which I really enjoy working with. And that particular relationship had started with a client that says, we want to build a house, and he referred me because he felt I was the best fit for that, which is fantastic, and I appreciate that, as well as I think he's a great fit for the house project, the vision that we've got. So, yeah, it works hand in hand both ways on many different aspects.
And that's where I'd like to kind of peel back some layers as far as you're giving names of Caliber Construction and Mod Lux and Haley Custom Homes and these people, as far as instead of saying, you know, design, I want to be the design build and do it all myself, or a builder saying, we don't need to hire a designer, we can just work with the homeowners. They both, if they're working in synergy together, it's by far the best scenario, right? And you're scratching each other's back, and you make sure it's not a matter of if, it's when something happens, but you work together to say, you know, I maybe had a bust on this section of the design, or this bulk plane doesn't work, or this, and you're finding strategically working together to where the customer at the end, they we're helping drive that by working with different vendors and people throughout the process to where the finished result is what they hoped and dreamed it would be.
Absolutely, yeah. The finished result's the most important.
Yeah, we find, too, a lot of times we'll be talking to builders that end up in a situation where it becomes frustrating for them because the design work maybe wasn't as complete as it should be, so they get involved in a project where they have a lot more questions than answers. It ends up costing the customer more money. Customer's upset. The builder's not happy. So, you know, that helps bridge that gap when you've got that synergy, like Devin talked about, between the two sides that are so critical to get the customer ultimately what they're looking for, which is as smooth a process and as good a finished product as you can possibly get.
Yeah, we both work for the same people, ultimately. So there's no point in struggling with each other, because after this project's over, we are going to work together.
Move on to another
one. So, you know, as far as a contractor, designer, you know, the subcontractor, we all have to work together in the future anyway. But so our relationship's pretty important as well, but on a different level.
Contractor listening to this, talking in the microphone, what's a couple things that you would say on the designer side of it that make these three contractors you mentioned, what makes them, why did their name come to fruition when you talked about them? Without pointing out, got to point out something obvious. It's history, right? And they've been through it, right? So it's a big thing about, you know, we all have to learn and scale the apprentice to your business. And we're very proud to say Mountain View has combined over 100 years of experience in the Mountain View family of the sales team. Mm-hmm. That means a lot, because we can bounce all these ideas together because we've done a lot of different projects, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these contractors that I've mentioned are people I've worked with in the past. They do a very great, awesome job. They certainly fit within my level of detail, as well as design aesthetic and so forth. So, I mean, they're people that I only not only enjoy working with, but can work with, and that's also very important too. Some contractors don't like to communicate; these people do, and that's very important.
And wouldn't you say it's really important to say we use the term spec to secure your vision?
Yeah.
But you also have to know there's a budget at every level, right?
Sure.
You can't go nuts with the design if it doesn't meet the budget. And it's talking price early and often with the end customer and you as a designer and the builder, because I see it every day. It's either the architect will over design it, and then the builder will be in here just trying to cut every corner they can and still trying to achieve the look. Well, I think that's backwards thinking. I think the way you do it, as far as when you're designing, you're actually designing based on the budget, and maybe this budget deems a Weiland lift slide and they want to put that,
right,
you know, that $30,000 into that door back there. But maybe this other project over here, right, we got to go all the way down to a 100 series for $3,000 for the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a huge part. You know, obviously we're using doors and windows because that's what Mountain View, but for every component of the building, the lifestyle, right?
Yeah, you know, something that I push on clients is that anything you touch should be of a good quality and should be something that you're very happy about, because you're going to use it just about every day. So anything down on a human level, unless it's a high window or ceilings that you never touch or something of the sort, yeah, you can maybe downgrade the materials a little bit because they look good. The actual feel of it is very important as well.
You know, you touch on something that's pretty simple but so critical, I think, and that's just simple communication. I mean, we see so many times an ultimate homeowner come in and deal with them, and we find out later that the design that was presented, the builder gets involved, they can't strike the budget. So there's like this lack of cooperation, or at least integration, if you will, between those three groups. And here you have the poor homeowner who spent a bunch of money in design, spent a bunch of money to a builder in deposits, and then, you know, they scratch everything and start all over because they couldn't get everything to align. It just is amazing to me the time that gets, you know, gets pushed aside that way without having that communication up front.
Well, unfortunately, in my experience, I've not had a lot of bad experience like that. You know, there's always opportunity to pull back and modify your approach, because you have to sometimes.
Well, you don't have those experiences because you take the extra time to communicate.
Right.
And
yeah,
if the homeowners are on the fence of something, you take the time on a Sunday afternoon to take that hour up front to show them and take them to a couple projects to say option A, B, or C. Oh, B is it on this, or I'm not sure about that, but
right,
at least they've seen it, and now you've set the bar and you've given them real world expectations.
I do like, again, I guess back to the point where I like taking them to showrooms, is that yes, I want them to see and touch those items that are quality, that might cost more, that might not. So I do want them to make that decision in their own head about what they're willing to spend, because again, it is their money. It has nothing to do with me about as a trophy house. It has everything to do with the fact that they're the ones living in it. They're the ones paying for it. So it is completely up to them. But I want to make sure they're getting a quality item based on what their expectations are.
And it seems like every time we sit down and have a fireside chat, it boils down to communication and getting early and often getting it right on paper, and knowing you're not going to get every detail right, but the details that are important to them, you do make sure you cover those bases, so that when you pass the wand to the general contractor that then is going to give it to a project manager or whatever filters that goes through, everybody has a playbook that the key factors that was important to the end customer has been, there's been a collaboration done, right?
Right, right. It's a team effort. It's not just me. It's not just the owners. It's a team.
Well, and that's where it becomes critical, too, because there's always unforeseen things that show up. And if you've got a builder that you've worked with that cooperates, then you're working as a team to get that resolved, as opposed to everybody pointing fingers at each other,
exactly,
which is commonplace in many cases, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, so I don't like to do that at all.
It's been great to have you in the studio, MVWD. We always like to leave some more learning lessons behind. Tell us about a recent book or article or something that you've read recently that fired you.
Well, it may not necessarily be an article, but it's certainly a visual for me that inspires me. But I do sometimes see homes in California that are much more open, airy, more glassy, are really cool. So there's inspiration there that I recently actually found that comes to mind on Architectural Record website. So something there is really
the cool. Website is Architectural Record.
Yeah, okay. Architectural Records website, which we all know. But they had an expose on a house that they did, and that was done in California, which looked really cool. So anyway, that's the first one that comes to mind at this point. But no, I do continue to like to read up on materials, read up on design, read up on history of what's happened. But you know, again, since I don't have a lot of that time, I try to focus it more on the practice and the clients at hand. But I'm always looking for inspiration and always feel inspired.
Love it.
Okay.
Any podcast other than The Art of Construction? I was honored when you walked in and you said, yes, I love listening to The Art of Construction and a big fan of ours. Any other shows or radio stuff, that podcasts that when you're driving around that you listen to?
At this point, I can't think of any. But
all right, well, we'll take it. We'll be the one.
I'm certainly going to start exploring other avenues to see if I can find anything like that.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting to really know people more than just the project, you know, right. To learning more about their passions, and turning this microphone on has taught us a lot. So any last closing things to discuss?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. I mean, again, it boils down to the whole idea of collaboration and communication and just really working for the ultimate customer, which is the end user. Like you say, it's not about you, it's not about your trophies, it's about their experience, and that's really the key.
And at the end of the day, we all are a little bit of what's in it for me. It's very important for all of us as the window supplier with these Weiland doors that they all line up and everything works properly, and you as your name on it. But we have to remember to step out of that soapbox and say, it's all about listening. And whatever the customer wants, that's what's important, right? And we have to all understand that and, you know, work together to give those details to each other to say, you know, setting the expectations. When you set a meeting in a showroom or how much time you have and, you know, what the budget and what angles you need to play, it's all about teaching each other and not wasting each other's time.
Right.
So thanks for taking the time today to come in and tell us about Gorg Design. And, you know, we're honored to be a customer and an industry partner with Don and your team.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, I don't know about you, Devin, but that was pretty interesting to hear from a design perspective, all of what goes into the building process that can be pretty productive.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of times we're all pulling our hair out and say, why aren't they doing it this way? Instead of talking about why aren't they doing it that way, it's so fun to come in and talk together and say, how can we best collaborate and go back through those details and say, you know, where is our time best spent utilizing our passions?
Well, and that's what's amazing to me is here's you got a guy that started at the age of 10 doing drawings for his grandmother, and that passion evolved into a curiosity that is still being fulfilled for Don today. In other words, he wants to always find out new things and help his customers, and that passion helps generate a good finished product for his customers and all the people that he collaborates with, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I learned he went to college at CU and got a degree in environmental design, and kind of on the way out we were talking about theory versus real world stuff. And I think that's one of the secret sauce of our show here, The Art of Construction, is we don't talk a lot of theory. We talk about real life stories that people can relate to, and school is great to learn those theories, but you can really get caught out in the real world if you're not having good people to protect you.
Yeah, and that's where that collaboration becomes so critical. I mean, we talk about that with a lot of our builders and designers, is that importance of the real world knowledge and information. And when you get product specific like windows and doors, it can be critically helpful to both of those categories of people to get involved and let us help them. And the same is true in all categories.
And as we're always growing this and working together, I thought one of the key moments of the show is when we talked about the design build function, as far as he's the designer, but it's his comment of from handshake to turning the key, he likes to make sure he's involved. But the key is collaborating with the right builders. Like you gave us three names, Caliber Construction, Mod Lux, and Haley Custom Homes. I challenge you guys to listen to the show, and we'd have you guys come in and kind of piggyback of what he had to say from the design side to you guys listen to on the build side, so we can really sit back and peel back those layers and talk about how a luxury project is best done.
Oh, absolutely.
So we look forward to having more guests on the show. We'll continue wrapping up 2015 here, and we got some exciting stuff coming for 2016 on the audio side of things. So look at our Facebook page. Studio MVWD is getting a full makeover, and we're teaming up with the Shays Lounge, which is Nick May, that runs a podcast that's specifically for designers to grow their business. A little bit of different angles, but we're all working together in this industry that we love so much, and hopefully you see a notch of up in audio quality going forward. So we continue to invest in the art of construction, and thank you for investing in us and listening and growing the show.
So stay tuned for Bigger, Better, and Beyond as we go forward into 2016.
Amen.
You have been listening to The Art of Construction. To listen to more, please go to www.mtnview.us and click on the podcast tab. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, and thanks for listening.